Well, the thing about it is funny, man. All these catchphrases people always say, you know, failure is a part of life and failure is how you grow. I've said all that stuff before, but it really is a bunch of shit. It really is, man. I'm going to be honest with you, man. You know, I'm so tired of hearing all these fucking cliche, fucking, you know, like goal setting fucking posters and all that shit. Half the people who write that shit aren't even doing the shit you're talking about. Half the people talk about failure. You know, they're fucking millionaires sitting back at some nice house. What the fuck are you talking about? So it makes me fucking nuts. The reason why I believe I can talk on failure is because I'm still failing today, and I'm failing in a major way, and I'm living when I'm talking. So many people who talk about all this shit, they're has-beens. They're people who used to do back in the day, and I talk about it. Are you living it today? So for me, failure is something that you should be afraid of. It should be afraid of, but that's why you should go out there and challenge yourself to fail. Because if you're not failing at something, that means you've set your goals to pass, to succeed at everything you do, which means you're not setting your goals high enough. So for me, okay, I'm gonna go out and break the Guinness Book of World Records for pull-ups. Lofty goal, which is why I failed it twice before I finally got it. I knew going into everything I've ever done in my life, Navy SEAL training, three times before I got it. Everything I've ever done in my life took me three times before I got it. I knew that there was a huge possibility of failure. But what I gained from failure is this. When you see a movie, and you watch a movie about a person who keeps failing, and at the end, they succeed. How do you feel after you watch that movie? Amazing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I become the movie. I want to feel how I feel watching someone else in the movie. When I watched Rocky get his ass kicked and I watched all these different things of failure, I was able to put myself there and say, God, man, how much do you feel now that you finally got there? That's what failure has done to me. I've watched so many things and watched someone succeed at the end of it. It's like, God, I want to feel like that. But failure causes that one feeling. Without that failure involved, you don't have that feeling. If you just pass and you succeed and you're great, that feeling, yeah, okay, I'm good. What takes you years, months, years to accomplish because you just can't get over the hump, but you continue going back to the drawing board. You're looking for those few seconds after you finally figure out the equation, whatever the equation may be, to get you to finally pass. To succeed, I live for that feeling. But I can't get that feeling without going through, I failed this equation. I failed this one. I failed this one. I failed this one. Oh, I'm figuring it out. So you start to feel it before you even pass, before you even get to the success part. And then once you succeed, the feeling is unbelievable. And you take that feeling of success through failure and you put it in your cookie jar. And you say, I'll come back and get you again. I'm going to need you again down the road in my life to call on you. It becomes so addictive that you don't mind failing anymore. Because you know now, oh, I bit off on something real big, which means the feeling is going to be really big. So, yeah, that's what, I mean, it takes failure to get the best feeling in the world. I remembered as a kid, no matter how f***ed up our life was, my mother always figured out a way to stock our damn cookie jar. She'd buy wafers and Oreos, Pepperidge Farm Milanos and chips. And whenever she showed up with a new batch of cookies, she dumped them into one jar. With her permission, we'd get to pick one or two out at a time. It was like a mini treasure hunt. I remember the joy of dropping my fist into that jar, wondering what I'd find. And before I crammed the cookie in my mouth, I always took the time to admire it first, especially when we were broke in Brazil. I'd turn it around in my hand and say my own little prayer of thanks. The feeling of being that kid, locked in a moment of gratitude for a simple gift like a cookie, came back to me. I felt it viscerally, and I used that concept to stuff a new kind of cookie jar. Inside it were all my past victories. Like the time when I had to study three times as hard as anybody else during my senior year in high school just to graduate. That was a cookie. Or when I passed the ASVAB test as a senior and then again to get in the books. two more cookies. I remember dropping over 100 pounds in under 3 months, conquering my fear of water, graduating buzz at the top of my class, and being named enlisted honor man in Army Ranger School. All those were cookies loaded with chocolate chunks. These weren't mere flashbacks. I wasn't just floating through my memory files. I actually tapped into the emotional state I felt during those victories, and in so doing, accessed my sympathetic nervous system once again. My adrenaline took over. The pain started to fade just enough, and my pace picked up. I began swinging my arms and lengthening my stride. My fractured feet were still a bloody mess, full of blisters, the toenails peeling off almost every toe. But I kept pounding, and soon it was me who was slaloming runners with pained expression as I raced the clock. From then on, the cookie jar became a concept I've employed whenever I need a reminder of who I am and what I'm capable of. We all have a cookie jar inside us because life, being what it is, has always tested us. Even if you're feeling low and beat down by life right now, I guarantee you can think of a time or two when you overcame odds and tasted success. It doesn't have to be a big victory either. It can be something small. I know we all want the whole victory today, but when I was teaching myself to read, I would be happy when I could understand every word in a single paragraph. I knew I still had a long way to go to move from a third grade reading level to that of a senior in high school. But even a small win like that was enough to keep me interested in learning and finding more within myself. You don't drop 100 pounds in less than 3 months without losing 5 pounds in a week first. Those first 5 pounds I lost were a small accomplishment. And it doesn't sound like a lot, but at the time it was proof that I could lose weight and that my goal, however improbable, was not impossible. The engine in a rocket ship does not fire without a small spark first. We all need small sparks, small accomplishments in our lives to fuel the big ones. Think of your small accomplishments as kindling. When you want a bonfire, you don't start by lighting a big log. You collect some witch's hair, a small pile of hay, or some dry dead grass. You light that and then add small sticks and bigger sticks before you feed your tree stump into the blaze, because it's the small sparks which start small fires that eventually build enough heat to burn the whole forest down. If you don't have any big accomplishments to draw on yet, so be it. Your small victories are your cookies to savor, and make sure you do savor them. Yeah, I was hard on myself when I looked in the accountability mirror, but I also praised myself whenever I could claim a small victory, because we all need that, and very few of us take the time to celebrate our successes. Sure, in the moment, we might enjoy them, but do we ever look back on them and feel that win again and again? Maybe that sounds narcissistic to you, but I'm not talking about droning on and bullshitting about the glory days here. I'm not suggesting you crawl up your own ass and bore your friends with all your stories about what a badass you used to be. Nobody wants to hear that shit. I'm talking about utilizing past successes to fuel you to new and bigger ones. Because in the heat of battle, when shit gets real, we need to draw inspiration to push through our own exhaustion, depression, pain, and misery. We need to spark a bunch of small fires to become the motherfucking inferno. But digging into the cookie jar when things are going south takes focus and determination, because at first the brain doesn't want to go there. It wants to remind you that you're suffering and that your goal is impossible. It wants to stop you so it can stop the pain. That night in San Diego was the most difficult night of my life, physically. I'd never felt so broken, and there were no souls to take. I wasn't competing for a trophy. There was no one standing in my way. All I had to draw on to keep myself going was me. Anybody, not just Navy SEALs, but anybody that can accomplish anything that is hard, the only separator is that they really want to be there. There's some people that get inspired, and that inspiration moves them to try to do something. But the inspiration is very high right now in this nice environment. We're in a nice environment. The ocean's out there. I'm talking to you. If I want to go to the refrigerator and get something to drink, eat, I can. I watch a movie about some badasses. You're inspired.
But the second you're not in this environment, mm-hmm. and you're actually doing what inspired you, that suck factor is now real. You can't just get off your couch and get a shake mm-hmm. or get a box of donuts or turn the TV. You're now there. And only those people who have been there a million times in their minds and have lived in that water and have suffered a million times and realized my legs may break, my knee may break, my bones will hurt. I will be the coldest I've been in my life. I will be miserable and accept that. Because what happens is when you get in a horrible situation in life, your mind, I call it my 1 second decision. When you get in a horrible situation in life, your mind immediately says, get the out of here. Mm-hmm. Everybody's does, even if you want to be there. Mm-hmm. But it starts to have all these different questions mm-hmm. in your mind in that 1 second. And it says, okay, why are you here? Why are you doing this? Why this? Why that? And then you start to say to yourself, if you don't want to be there that bad, I have a beautiful wife at home, man. Why the f- am I doing this, man? Mm-hmm. Like, this is stupid. This is going to get these guys injured. Like they're going to pay for this for the rest of their lives. I'm not going to break my body up to do this. Mm-hmm. Your mind starts to say, yeah, this is stupid. But if you are already knowing that this is going to happen to you, you have all the answers to these questions that your mind starts to give you when you're in suffer mode. Nothing in my life has ever happened for me on the first try. It took me 3 cracks to get through Navy SEAL training. I had to take the ABAT 5 times and fail twice before breaking the Guinness World Record for most pull-ups in 24 hours. But by then, failure had long since been neutralized. When I set an unreasonable goal and fall short, I don't even look at it as failure anymore. It is simply my first, second, third, or 10th attempt. That is what belief does for you. It takes failure out of the equation completely because you go in knowing the process will be long and arduous. And that is what the f- we do. I wish I could more fully express what it's like to defy the medical mind to parachute into wildfires at 47 years old. I find the sensation almost impossible to describe. All I can say is that I hope you and everyone else get to feel this one day, because to overcome all obstacles and bump up against the outer reaches of your capabilities is the pinnacle. In those rare fleeting moments when you are washed in the sense of infinite possibility and overwhelmed with glory, everything they ever did to you or put in front of you, all the knockdowns, breakdowns, and fuck yous, and every bit of the pain, doubt, and humiliation, it's fucking worth it. But the only way to get there is to continually seek greatness and always be willing to try one more time. I never needed to be the hardest motherfucker in the world. That became a goal because I knew it would bring out my best self, which is what this fucked up world needs from all of us, to evolve into the very best versions of ourselves. That's a moving target, and it isn't a one-time task. It is a lifelong quest for more knowledge, more courage, more humility, and more belief. Because when you summon the strength and discipline to live like that, the only thing limiting your horizons is you.
And that's why I talk about the warrior mentality. And that's why so many people are lost when I start talking. You have the right. You're lucky that you don't have to think like warriors think. You're very privileged. I chose this world to be a warrior. And I would choose it again if I came back to this world. But the mentality of a warrior is very different than normal mentality. You must be that person on that door, getting ready to open it, thinking to yourself, if I die, so be it. The only way you can go in that door is knowing there's a great chance you're going to die. It's like being a SEAL, you train with live ammo. You jump out of an airplane. Everything you do, you could die. So to be a warrior, why people don't understand me, I'm glad you don't understand me. Merry Christmas. Good on you. Because being a warrior takes a whole different mindset. A whole different mindset to know that there's a great chance I may not be in the military. Like, I was in for 21 years. I'm lucky. I'm very lucky that I'm alive, able to talk to you, able to still run. But when you sign up on that dotted line to be a like a SEAL, your mentality changes.
I may not live. You got to accept that. And that's the mentality you have.